because he has done great things for us. Why? Because he has done great things, things that we did not even deserve. He made us deserving of them. Because he has done great things, I will choose to bless the Lord. First of all, he has commanded us to let everything praise him. He has made that commandment that we praise him and bless him. Why? Because he's worthy. He's worthy. With your Bibles in your hand, repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a hearer of the word, as well as a doer of the word. My life will never be the same after hearing the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by God's word. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise. We thank you for this day, the last Sunday of the year. Many did not make it this day. Hallelujah. There were some that crossed over before midnight last night. And Lord, for this, we are saying thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, O God, for your love. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And let God's people say amen. 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 Lord, anoint the hearers. Yes. Lord, anoint your vessel. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Yes. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I do have a script here. And I want to just start with this introduction. There comes a time in different situations or circumstances in our lives when each of us will need someone to have our backs. Whether it is a friend, a spouse, a child, or any relative. It is something most of us expect, to say the least. However, it is not always that way. In life, you have not already, if you have not already discovered, there will be many times you will be disappointed by a friend, a spouse, a child, or a relative. There are times in life, even when disappointments will come because of our expectations of others. You know, I'm reminded of the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was letting the people know how deceitful and how treacherous the heart of man is. And he even told Jeremiah, look, tell the people, don't even trust your brother. Because they will come to your face and speak good and turn around and slander you after they leave you. You know, many times they don't have to leave your face to do that. We can slander with an expression. We can slander with a look. You know, it's so amazing that body language says so much. You know, and it's amazing that people think, sometimes I think people think you're dumb, stupid, and blind. A lot of times if you give them back what they're giving you, they can't even take it. But if they can see themselves and their expressions as they express themselves towards you, you would say, well, my God. Versus how they express themselves towards somebody else. Yeah. It could be in the same family. And that expression towards you is one thing, but that expression to somebody else that's related to you is another thing. And it's really amazing. But we're going to find all these things in life. You know, and today I really just want to talk. I really just want to talk as this being the last Sunday of the year. But many times, this can start very early in life, talking about disappointments. It can start very early in life, especially when a child is told by his or her parent, who is not involved in their life on a daily basis or could be, that I will be there tomorrow to see you, perhaps, to watch that child play at that football game, attend that birthday party, or a school activity, and the child waits with great anticipation, only to be disappointed. By a parent, by a friend, or by a relative. Now, the parent might have had a legitimate reason for not showing up. But in the child's mind, he does not understand it. He does not accept it and will begin to build up a wall of distrust to people because of those early disappointments in life. Now, even though Jeremiah tells the children of Israel and he speaks about how slanderous and how two-faced they are, the one thing we need to teach a child in life early, not only that Jesus loves them, but they cannot put all of that trust in man. Because man will deceive them and man will fool them. Not saying that they could not and cannot put that trust in man, but the thing about them, let them be aware that man is deceitful. And I think if we teach them how much Jesus loves them at an early age, we need to teach them how to be cautious not to put so much trust in man. There are children today that are in their graves because they trusted some old dirty man that says, come help me find my puppy or my doggy or my cat. And they were lured in a van or a car and they have never been seen again. See, so we have to draw the line. It has to be a balance. But in life, we are living in a treacherous world. And Jeremiah was talking to the children of Israel, and you know they were idolaters. They were not serving the true and living God. But it's so sad to say that we as believers, there are wickedness in the body of Christ. And it ought not to be. But because we are imperfect people, expect anything. Now, as adults, when disappointments come, many times we can say, oh, well. Have you been there? Have you ever said that? Oh, well. There is no human being on this planet Earth who can meet all of our needs and expectations with every whim or sudden idea we plan. However, on the other hand, we must always be conscious of Romans 8:28. And we know that. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Who is it to say that certain things we might have planned in life, had it materialized, it would have been the end of our lives? Who is it to say that when we made a plan to do a certain event and everything turned around because it did not come to fruition, who is it to say that God, with his omniscience and with his omnipotent power and with his omnipresence, who is it to say that he prevented that day to come because he saw a tragedy or an accident that could have wiped you out, wiped me out, or wiped some of our children out? Who is it to say? So instead of allowing the enemy to talk to you and supplant thoughts in your minds about your loved ones, about your families and friends, and allow him to plant all these ideas, not knowing that God could have been in control of it all to have saved your life. Sometimes we have to spiritualize situations. Sometimes we cannot allow Satan to talk to us and mess our minds up in every situation. Because I'm here to tell you, he will do it. If we allow him, he will do it. We must learn to trust God in every situation of our lives because he is faithful that promised. So that was my introduction to my teaching. And my teaching today, the last Sunday of 2010, will be about the faithfulness of God. Just repeat after me, the faithfulness of God. Now, before we go into any of our text, we're going to define the word faithfulness, or the root word that comes out of faithfulness, which is faithful as an adjective. It means full of faith. Faithful means, as an adjective, means full of faith. Steadfast. An affection or allegiance. It also means loyal. Now keep in mind my introduction. It also means loyal. It also means firm in adherence to promises or in observance of duty. It also means, in other words, that means conscientious, guided by one's sense of right and wrong. Now, when I read that, I said, oh my goodness. Conscientious, guided by one's sense of right and wrong. How many know that our thoughts are not his thoughts? And our ways are not his ways. And what we might seem to look right and wrong may be so far from what is right and wrong according to his word. So that means you can't even trust a man's consciousness. Because if they don't have Christ on the inside, they will not see things as Jesus or as Christ would see it. You're only seeing it through your own eyes or your own mind. It also means given with strong assurance, meaning binding, faithful promise. You're faithful. Now let's look at some synonyms for faithfulness as a noun. Now faithful implies unswerving adherence to a person or thing or to the oath promise by which a tie was contracted, faithful to her promise. I mean, there have been people that have promised to take another person for their mate. And for whatever reason, that oath was not true, because they renege. Have you ever had people to promise you something, and then when you're expecting them to show up, but go right back to the introduction, a child expecting a parent to come to a game, and they don't show up. I mean, many things we've been disappointed. So also it means loyal. Loyal implies a firm resistance to any temptation to desert or betray, as a person would remain loyal to Tsar. And Tsar is a Russian emperor. And you know, as I read that and as I was studying, I was thinking about fraternities, police officers, police fraternities and things of that nature. How a police can beat his wife almost kill her, and yet another police can stand by and observe it, walk in on it, and they will keep an oath that I will not speak against it. Do you know that's true? There are many wives that have suffered at the hands of police officers, and because of that fraternity brothers and that fraternity co-workers, oh man, don't worry, you're not going under. The devil is a liar. Don't you know that, don't you know he might not go under the hands of a fraternity brother, a police officer, but one day he's going to go under because vengeance is the Lord's. And he will repay. And it doesn't have to be a police officer. It could just be a regular old husband or a man or men. You look at the Muslim women, how they have to endure hardship. They can't even be like a normal woman, as we call normal, but sometimes I wonder what is normal anymore. I mean, look at the fathers that have killed their daughters, and they claim it's honor killing because they wanted a boyfriend or wanted a mate, or you acting too Americanized. No, I'm going to kill you because, no, we have to put you in your place. So then we look at constant. Or stresses. Constant means stresses, continuing firmness of emotional attachment without necessarily implying strict obedience to promises or vows. A constant friend or constant friends. Staunch means suggests fortitude and resolution and adherence and imperviousness to influences that would weaken it, such as a staunch defender of free speech. See, we have to learn to be staunch defenders of God's word. We have to be brave enough in the midst of the crowd. When the crowd is saying this, we should be brave enough and staunch enough to say, oh, no, but God's word says this. And this is what I will stand for. See, some people, they will go with the crowd. But I'm going to stand with God's word. And then we think about steadfast. Implies a steady and unwavering course. Allegiance or conviction. An unwavering course in life. Allegiance or conviction. Steadfast in their support. We have members here that have been steadfast in their support. They have been with us through thick, through thin. When it was good times, when it was bad times, they were steadfast. And resolute implies firm determination to adhere to a cause of or purpose. Now, some might say, why are you giving us all those definitions? That's an overkill. Some might think that's an overkill, but I gave it to you purposely. Because I want you to evaluate yourself this year, the last Sunday of the year, in light of God's word. So the first thing that I want to talk about in regard to the faithfulness of God is part of his character. The faithfulness of God is part of his character. Now, I'm going to be giving you a lot of scriptures, therefore, I'm not going to I'll read the scriptures, I'll quote them, you can write them down so I can, you know, move on. The faithfulness of God is part of his character. In Isaiah 49 and 7, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Now we're talking about the faithfulness of God. Say, neighbor. We are talking about the faithfulness of God. Now, in Corinthians, I didn't write that scripture down, but it says, God is faithful by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Isaiah says that the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and the Holy One of him who man despises, it was Jesus. He was despised, he was rejected, but guess what? The day is going to come that every king, but what is so amazing, even before this coming of Jesus, even when the children of Israel and the different kings came up against Israel, remember when Jesus said, I'm going to allow the Israelites to go into captivity, and the Babylonians will hold them captives for 70 years. But even though they were going to be held captive 70 years by the Babylonians, God said the day will come that even those kings are going to bow. Those kings are going to bow, and they will confess that Jesus is Lord. Not only just Lord, but Lord of lords and King of kings. Now, a lot of people don't want to acknowledge him now, but the day is going to come. Even kings, those that despised him, those that rejected him. He said, I came to my own, and my own received me not. Do you know what it's like to be rejected by your own? Some of us have no clue to be rejected by your own. I came to my own, and my own received me not. That's why Jesus couldn't do many miracles in Nazareth, because of their unbelief. Because they did not want to receive him. A prophet is without honor in his own home. Many times they can go elsewhere and they receive, but in their own home, you know, they're not received or they're rejected. But what we must realize is that when we reject God's word, regardless of who is coming through or from, we are rejecting God. So not only did those kings and those rulers despise him, sometimes we as believers despise him because we're rejecting the word that is coming forth because we don't like the speaker. Or we have problems with the speaker or his or her personality. But the faithfulness of God is his character. There's an old saying, but it's not in the word. Your word is your bond. It's not scripture. If you look for it, you can concord from now until, and it's not in the Bible. But your word is your bond. It's a cliche, it's a saying, but it's a noteworthy saying. If a man can trust your word, you're trustworthy. If he promised you that he will do and be there, and he's there, and you know. And sometimes trustworthiness is in names. Some names of families, you have members. Oh, don't deal with those cousins. Because, I mean, you know what they will do. You know what they're like. You can't trust them from here to yonder. You know, we all have those kinds of cousins. But when you got a name, when you have a name that's noteworthy, and that you can be trusted. You know, some people, you don't even have to say, oh, I knew that wasn't going to last. Because you know their personality, you know their whims, you know everything about them, so you know how long something will last. Sometimes people will do you nice and be nice to you only for you to serve them and for what they can get out of you or from you. Other than that, they don't want nothing to do with you. If you can be of service to me, you can be around me now.
But otherwise, if I don't want to hear your voice, if I don't want to hear you, if I don't want to be bothered with you, don't come into my space. We're talking about the faithfulness of God. Amen. Now, the faithfulness of God is declared to be great. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, unto me. Hallelujah! 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 Great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. When we were faithless, he was great. Great is his faithfulness. And we are, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Even when the enemy is planning and plotting against you, you can say, great is his faithfulness. Even when the enemy thinks he's coming against you and working against you, but great is God's faithfulness. Lamentations 3:23. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And these are the things we should declare. Decree a thing. Hallelujah. If you decree it, it will come to pass. We should declare that the faithfulness of God is established. Psalms 89:2. For I have said, mercy shall be built for up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Hallelujah. So we see his mercies can't be anything but great. Yes. I mean, if it's going to be extended from heaven all the way down to earth, come on. They have to be new every morning. They cannot be warmed over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It must be new every morning. Hallelujah. No, some men don't eat leftover food. But they don't realize food that's warmed over is better than the day before. Hallelujah. But God's faithfulness extends so far. Hallelujah. That they're not warmed over, but new every morning. Remember when he told the children of Israel, he said, only gather enough food that you need. If you gather too much for the weekend, all it's going to do is rot. We don't have to take more than we need because his faithfulness is new and great every morning. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory. We're talking about God's faithfulness. We're not talking about man's faithfulness because you cannot rely on man. The heart of man is desperate and wicked. Like I said before, they're smiling your face, turn around and stab you in the back. I mean, even Jeremiah tells us and warns us about that. Man, don't put trust in your brother. They're slanderous. The faithfulness of God is declared to be incomparable. Psalms 89:8 says, O Lord, God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee? I mean, it can't even be compared. There's a worship song that I sing. Some of you might know it. Some of you might not know it. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you. Isn't that awesome? I don't care what kind of rock you got on your finger. It does not compare to what God. There's no diamond that can compare to God's faithfulness. There's no relationship that can compare to God's faithfulness. There's no girlfriend relationship that can compare to God's faithfulness. There's no boyfriend relationship that God can compare to God's faithfulness. Nothing I have can compare with him, to him. Hallelujah. 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 Nothing. No thing. The faithfulness of God is declared unfailing. Psalms 89:33 says, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. So what does that let us know? Regardless to what we are going through, regardless to what circumstance we find ourselves in, we must know that God's unfailing faithfulness will not disappoint us. Even though we wanted to go one way and it went another way, he said his faithfulness will not disappoint us. So what is that telling you? Be still and know that God is God. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And you know, when you think about faithless, it applies to any failure to keep a promise or pledge or any breach of allegiance or loyalty. And we know that that's not our God. But that can be humans. But it's not our God. He is faithful. He's never faithless. But he is faithful. The faithfulness of God should be declared infinite. Psalms 36:5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. We should declare that his faithfulness is everlasting. Psalms 119:9, it says, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it about it. You know, I don't know where I fall in line as far as my generations, but I know a many of generations have passed since my coming in on the scene. But guess what? When I leave off the scene, just like God took care of my mother's children, their children's children, yeah, their children's children's children. Yeah. When I leave off this planet Earth, or when my husband and I leave off this planet Earth, God is faithful to every generation. Yeah. And one scripture says to 1,000 years. Yeah. To 1,000 generations, he's faithful. Yeah. And so many times we'll find ourselves worried. Yeah. And I pray, I said, Lord, I pray for every grandchild that I have. I pray for all of my great-grandchildren. I pray for their success. Lord, I pray for their mates. Lord, I pray for their protection. Lord, I pray that you would provide for them. Because we are living in a world, I tell you, and I'm sure in my mother's day and my father's day, they were saying, oh my God, Lord, what's going to happen to my children? But guess what? God was faithful, even through my generation, even through your generation. And he will remain and continue to be faithful. I don't care how bad things look, God is faithful. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Now, number three, the faithfulness of God should be pleaded in prayer. Psalms 143:1 says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. Now you tell me, look, sometimes we have not because we ask not. Yes. He said, ask and it shall be given. Yes. Knock and the door shall be open. There are times we need to declare his faithfulness. And when we pray to God, we need to establish his faithfulness. When we ask in prayer the things we want and desire. Number four. The faithfulness of God should be proclaimed. Psalms 40:10 says, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. In other words, David said, no, I have not hid thy salvation. I have not hid, and the gift of salvation was Jesus Christ. He said, I have not hid who he is. When we come into the sanctuary, and there are times we have testimonies, and we ask, is there a testimony on this side? Is there a testimony on that side? One more, last time going. Look, we have the ability and the opportunity to declare his faithfulness in our testimonies. We shouldn't have to pump a person to testify when we have testimony services. When you think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you and for me, say, my very soul cries out, what? Hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Faithfulness refers to the fulfillment in this text, in this particular scripture, of the covenants and promises through Jesus Christ and his great salvation. John 1:16 states, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Verse 17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Christ is God's salvation to all men. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And one for he shall save his people from their sins. Christ is the highest expression of the loving kindness of God. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ is the truth of God. John 1:1-2 in verse 14, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Psalms 89:1 says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. God's faithfulness must be proclaimed through us to the future generations. As we have to sing a new song of his faithfulness, we have to sing it to them. We know great is thy faithfulness. Sing it to your children. Serenade them about his faithfulness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We might not have the violin or the harp, but we can serenade. Glory to God. Glory to God. Number five, the faithfulness of God is manifested in his counsels. Isaiah 25 and 1 states, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. My God, my God. I tell you, Numbers 23:19, as a reference, says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? If he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread, did he not say it? Will he not fulfill it? I don't care what struggles you're going through right now financially. God said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. Some are walking around wishing they could find a job. Going to unemployment and applying online and walking the streets, but you have a job. The faithfulness of God should be manifested in afflicting the saints. Now here comes the big one. Here comes, tell your neighbor, watch out. Here comes the big one. Psalms 119:75. Yeah. Now I want you all to go over these scriptures and study this. This is an awesome lesson. And you need to take it by the tape if necessary. And I don't usually push no tapes, but this is a good teaching about the faithfulness of God. Now, it should be manifested in afflicting his saints. Psalms 119:75 says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Lord, give the Lord a clap offering. Give him a clap offering. Give him the highest praise right here. Hallelujah! 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 God is faithful and will not suffer one to endure more temptation than he can bear. Now, 1 Corinthians 10:13-14 says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is what? Faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now, I hear that all the time. We read that all the time. But very seldom we go to verse 14. Verse 14 says, now, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee. Yes. Tell your neighbor, say, flee. Flee. Tell your neighbor again, say, flee. From idolatry. Yes. Now, we hear this all the time, that there's no temptation common to man that God will not make a way of an escape. But a lot of times, we don't want to flee. We don't want to flee the scene. We do not want to flee the scene. We'd rather stay there and try to negotiate with the enemy. And by the time he gets through negotiating with us, we don't fail. But if he had thought about verse 14 where it says, flee, run, run like Joseph ran. Even though he was accused falsely, he ran. Flee. Don't wait till you get so weak in the temptation that you succumb to it. Don't stay there till you get so weak in it that you succumb. After all, we are just humans. Of course, the devil likes for us to say that because it gives us justification. Flee. Hallelujah. Nor will he suffer one to be lost without doing all in his power to save him. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. We know it. Then 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? If a man falls into sin or is lost, it is his own responsibility. He has not taken God's way, as the psalmist did. Psalms 119:30 says, and David says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Now, as the last resort, God may allow trouble and even permit Satan to afflict with disease to bring a man back to righteousness. Now, I want you to write down Job 33:14-29. It's a must read. I don't want to take time to read it now, but it is a must read. Job 33:14-29. See, Job has some pride in his life. I can tell you that. You know, I'm a righteous man. You know, I haven't done anything wrong. Sometimes we think we're too good. We think we're good at two-shoe. And sometimes if we don't think it, people think that we think that, whether we think it or not. Do you know that? That is so real that some people think that you think you're so good at two-shoe. And that's the furthest thing from your mind. But they're thinking it that you think it. So who has the problem? They have the problem. Because you're not thinking that about yourself. Because you know your frailties. You know your own weaknesses. I might not go around and put a sign on my back that I'm weak here, and I'm weak there, and I'm weak here, and I'm weak there, but Jesus knows my weaknesses. The devil knows my weaknesses. The devil knows your weaknesses. And he'll try to project everything against you for you to be weak and to bring discouragement. The devil is not omniscient. Neither is he omnipresent. And neither is he all-powerful and all-knowing. But he does know us by familiar spirits. He knows what makes us angry. He knows how to get us off course. And he has set, and he has to use people now. Trust me, he has to use people to get to you. To project whatever they want to project to you. I can't stand you. I don't like you. Whatever they want to project. He'll use people to do it. Yes. But just make sure that say, Lord, make me a blessing today. Amen. Not a curse. Amen. Make me a blessing today. Let my life and make an impact on someone. Not to discourage them, but to bless them. Or to encourage them. The judgment of the Lord should be manifested in fulfilling his promises. 1 Kings 8:20 says, and the Lord hath performed his word that he spake. And I am risen up in the room of David, my father, and sit on the throne of Israel.
as the Lord promised, and have built a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And I think one writer says, and my name shall be there perpetually. Hallelujah. The house of David, his name shall be there perpetually. I mean, this is what God promised David. He says, now you will not build the house, but your seed will build the house. And my name shall be there perpetually. And when you go into these passages of scriptures, it also is alluded to the millennium about the future reign of David. Hallelujah. The faithfulness of God. From the beginning to the end, from everlasting to everlasting. Hallelujah. He's been faithful. Faithful to me. Oh, we can just sing. We can just sing all in between the sermon. Hallelujah. He's been faithful. So he kept his covenant. His faithfulness is manifested in keeping his covenant. Deuteronomy 7 and 9 says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. I'll read that one again. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him. That's the clincher. And keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Have you ever had family members and you see them and they just going downhill? They don't have nothing. They don't have shelter. But those of those same family members that love the Lord, they're prosperous. So there's a contingency there. You have to love him. You must love him. Not love him with your mind, but love him with your heart. There are people that's walking the streets that are alcoholics and drug addicts. They love the Lord with their mind, but they haven't made, you know, the decision to love him with their heart. Or they allow their struggles to overtake them. When God has made provision for those struggles. The faithfulness of God should be manifested in executing judgment. Jeremiah 23:20 says, the anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter day, he shall consider it perfectly. Now, when he wrote that scripture simply because the children of Israel were listening to false prophets. There were prophets in Jeremiah's day when Jeremiah was preaching and teaching the truth and warning the people of the captivity to come. There were other prophets who were saying, oh no, this is safe and peace. You know, oh no. And they were saying, thus saith the Lord, and lying through their teeth. Liar, liar, pants on fire. They were prophesying through their teeth. And God says, the day is going to come. He says, look, he says, come on here. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed all those false prophets that caused those people to lose out. Judgment is coming against them. And I had stated earlier, in Jeremiah 51:29, and the land shall tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. Even though the children of Israel, they were held captive by Babylon, but the day was going to come that he was going to execute judgment against them as well. Vengeance, the day of execution, the day of judgment. And look, stop trying to fight your own battle. We all have been guilty. Because the fight is not ours anyway. The battle is not ours. The fight belongs to the Lord. Don't you know he's a warrior? Don't you know he is a warrior? While we try to fight, we hinder him from, you know, going and warring for us. Because he said, well, I see they trying to fight their own fight. The faithfulness of God should be manifested in forgiving sins. John, 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The faithfulness of God should be manifested in his saints. Psalms 89, 24. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So what does that say? He's going to establish you and keep you from evil. Have there been times you have made plans to go somewhere and the Spirit of the Lord just tell you, you don't need to be there. You don't need to go. He's keeping you from evil. Perhaps whoever's going to be there wasn't going to be good for you to be there. You see what I'm saying? Many times people went, well, all of a sudden I had an urgency to go somewhere, and all of a sudden this thing just, I just don't want to be there. Something is going on, I don't want to be there. The faithfulness of God should be manifested in the fact. Oh, this is another one. The faithful of God should be manifested in saints encouraged to depend on. 1 Peter 4:19. It says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing unto a faithful creator. Wherefore, let them that suffer, who's suffering out here or out there? Who's suffering? Oh, hallelujah. We have a glorious church. Nobody is suffering. Jesus is ready to come back for us. None of you have no sufferings? Now, some of those sufferings are given to you by the will of Jesus. Because sometimes those sufferings will build up our character. Sometimes we don't pray like we should until we are suffering in a certain way. Many times we're going about our merry, merry way every day, 24/7, never think about the Lord until we are squeezed up against the corner. And then we begin to pray. And then we began to seek his face. So sometimes it's a reason that we have to go through many sufferings and afflictions because God wants our attention. And he is faithful even in that. We are teaching about the faithfulness of God. So he's faithful even in our suffering. I'm here to tell you, some of us have been chosen a certain lot in life, and that lot in life includes suffering upon suffering, suffering upon suffering. When you get out of one suffering, here comes another. When you walk through one, here comes another. When you think you can breathe a little bit, here comes another. And you begin to say, Lord, is there ever an end to this suffering? I'm tired of suffering. I'm tired of going through. Lord, is it an end to it? But he is saying to you, but great is my faithfulness.
I willed it so, because I'm making you. I willed it so because of the anointing that's on your life. I willed it so. I willed it so. I willed it so. Don't ask why. And we all have asked why. Why this Lord? Why that Lord? Why am I faced with this? It's not about you. It's not about me. But it's about the people we will help one day. If we're willing to be transparent. If we're willing to be transparent, yes. God will use it to help someone else. Amen. Hallelujah. It's nasty. I hear a commercial. I mean, some of you might have heard it. It's an advertisement. I'm paraphrasing it, and you've heard it on 103.9. And this lady, they're advertising an organization that will buy houses as they are, regardless to how ugly they are. And this one lady goes on to say, well, I had to sell my house because of a divorce and because of my husband walking off. But even though the house is not ugly, the situation is ugly. Even though the situation might be ugly, God is yet faithful in the midst of it. The situation may be real ugly, but he's faithful. I mean, ugly. That's how bad it is that it's ugly. But he's faithful in it. And he willed it. He permitted it. Why? Why did he permit it? Because he's taking you somewhere. And finally, the faithfulness of God should be manifested and should be magnified. Psalms 89 and 5, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Psalms 92 and 2 states, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Look, that comes from Psalms 92, and I think the first part of that Psalms 92, if I'm not correct, it says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise unto thy name, O Most High. Now, we're going to stand up, and we're going to sing that song. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing his praises unto his name, O Most High. It is a good thing to sing thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing his praises unto his name, O Most High. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Again.
It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord.
It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Almost high. Almost high. Almost high. Almost. The last one for his faithfulness. Come on. Almost high. Give him a clap offering. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to shout before the Lord for his faithfulness. I want you to shout and magnify the Lord for his faithfulness in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.